God is good. All the time. God is good. That's right. That's right. Well, it's back to school season, right? How many of you guys have already done your whole back to school shopping, bought new pens, new folders, pencils, backpacks? You guys got all that squared away? Are you ready for the kids to go back to school? Yeah, right? And then some of the educators in the room were like, oh, deep sigh. Summer was so, it was like, it felt like 2 weeks, you know, but listen, it's just that, it's that time, right, where you get back into the routine, get back into homework, right, and it's funny, I'm not a, so at home, I'll be honest with you, I pitch in every so often. Stephanie is the one that carries the load when it comes to homework, right, especially now with math. I don't know if you guys notice it, but math isn't what math used to be. Like it used to be, you would have numbers and you would have formulas, and now it's like just sometimes it's better. Yeah, okay, it is better. Okay, it's different for sure, because the different, you know, it's like I don't get this math. I'm like I can't. I don't. No, that's not right, Dad. I was like, okay, let's just go back to them. Right, that's not how you do it. And I'm like, no, it's this. Just use this form. No, that's not how we're supposed to do it, Dad. We're supposed to do a little picture, and then a group, and then I was supposed to decide, and I was like, what? I don't know. Math was a bit more straightforward when I was a kid. I don't know about you guys. But it's interesting. I just, a play on that, we decided to title the Sunday sermon, God's Math, right? God's Math. Because, you know, sometimes when we said, when you're doing the homework with the kids now, things don't seem to add up. And the fact is, and when we get into the scripture, when we bring things to God, sometimes you're going to find out that things also don't add up. If you think about them just on the surface, when you bring one thing together with another thing, you think you have the right outcome in the equation. The answer is no, right? Then when we bring our stuff to God, right, that He's the one who actually adds more to it, right? And so that's what we're going to be spending some time in today, learning about what God, how God's math works, which is good. It's better than Common Core. Amen. We're going to learn about how God's math works. And then when we trust in Him, right, that God always provides. God always meets our need. But I always say, listen, we don't seek blessing, right? When we get God, you get God. And I'm just going to say that is enough. And that's what we're going to learn about today. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of 2 Kings. We're going to be in chapter 4. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 7. 2 Kings, verses 1 through 7. Verse 1, it says, "The wife of a man, company of the prophets, cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my boys as his slaves.' And Elisha replied to her, 'How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?' 'Your servant has nothing there at all,' she said, 'except a small jar of olive oil.' Elisha said, 'Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask just for a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side.' She left him and shut the doors behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. And when all the jars were full, she said to her son, 'Bring me another one.' But he replied, 'There is not a jar left.' And then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left.'" Amen? All right. So let's break this passage down a lot, because I always say whenever we read a big passage like that, it's like a big steak and we need to break it down, right? We need to break it down. And so what do? We always say if we're going to gossip about the gospel, you know, if we must gossip, let us gossip about the gospel and the word of God, right? So what's happening in this passage? Because it's always important that we understand that God's word is anchored in a place to a people. And so that has meaning and value to when we're studying. So let's go ahead and pull up our map today. You guys know I love maps. I can't help myself. But today's passage is taking place in a city called Gilgal. Now, you can't quite see it on this map, but it's actually just north of Jericho. Now, at this time, if you read 1 Kings and 2 Kings, right, in 1 Kings, you're going to find out that what happens. The whole kingdom of Israel has split now into two. Yes, you guys know that? And so that was right after Solomon, one of his sons, Rehoboam, right, was the people felt that they were being taxed too heavily. And so they came and they talked to him and they said, hey, can you give us a tax break? You know, I was like, who doesn't want a tax break? I was like, man, I'm going to need that. Right. So the northern tribes, 10 of them, they came to Rehoboam and they said, hey, give us a break on the tax. This is too much, man. And he said, no. So again, essentially, they ended up splitting up. Now, they didn't go to war because God commanded Jeroboam not to, right? And so long story short, the northern kingdom was formed at that time. And that's in the book of 1 Kings towards the end. And then the southern kingdom, right, is known as Judah, right, here in the red. Now, it's always interesting, right? This is a cool map. I don't know. I'm going to stop to talk about it because you always hear about the Moabites, right? Well, where do they live? They live right here on the other side of the Dead Sea. And the Ammonites, right? And the the Philistines, right? Amorites. There's too many ites, right? The termites live over here? No, I'm kidding. There's a lot of mites, but they're all right here, right? Moabites, Ammonites, Aramites, Philistines. That one's the only one's a little different. But what we're picking up today is we're picking up on a reading from 2 Kings, and the man of God that they're talking to is a prophet by the name of Elisha, right? S-H-A, right? Who was called, and he actually was called, and he was an apprentice under the first prophet, Elijah, right? That's kind of cool that they have similar names. Don't get them confused. Elijah came first. And their ministry happened to be, a lot of it happened around the Jordan River right here. Now, this particular passage that we're reading takes place in a town called Gilgal. So if you show the next slide. This was the Dead Sea right here. There's Jericho. There is Gilgal. This is where this passage is taking place. Now, Elisha is known as a major prophet in the Old Testament. What's the difference between a minor prophet and a major prophet? Anybody? The amount of time, right? The amount of time. Good. I saw JD had it over here. The amount of time that they prophesied. So Elisha prophesied for roughly 50 years. Okay, so he was considered a major prophet. And I don't know if you guys remember this. When he got anointed and called, he actually asked something from God. You guys remember what he asked him? He asked him for a double portion of the Spirit. That's a bold ask, right? If you're going to ask something from God, if you know somebody that is like on fire for the Lord, he's like, yeah, he's doing miracles. I want a double portion of the Spirit that you've given him, right? And so what actually happens in Elisha's ministry is that Elisha records 8 miracles in the Bible. How many miracles do you think are recorded under Elisha's name? 16, that's right. See, somebody knows some regular math over here too, right? Praise God. So Elisha is recorded having 16 miracles in his time when he's prophesying. And so his ministry is just starting. If you guys remember in 2 Kings, right? Elisha is taking up in a whirlwind to be with God. Do you guys remember that? And so now we're in 2 Kings chapter 4, where she's going along and there's a widow that comes in and she has a problem, right? She has a huge problem. Number one, her husband has died, so she's... And he's her provider. And so secondly, then the husband tells us that he has debts, yes? Now, in those times, if you didn't have the ability to pay your debts, what would happen? The person would come and try to collect on that debt. Now, if you didn't have money to pay the debt, what would happen? They would take your kids, right? And you would become an indentured servant, essentially, until you paid that debt off, right? And so that's what she's coming. She has a big problem. Her husband's died. Now she's on the verge of losing her 2 kids. Imagine being the widow in that place, in that situation and circumstance. She feels like, man, she's coming to the end of herself. I can imagine how desperate she was. But we can see, right, what we start to pick up in this passage. And the first fill in the blank that we're gonna learn and we're gonna break down a little bit more on is that number one, right, we see that God's miracles can begin where our resources and abilities end, right? God's miracles begin where our resources and abilities end. Because she, right, the widow was telling him, right? The wife of a man of a company from the prophets called out to Elisha, says, "Your servant, my husband, is dead." And he was revealed to the Lord, but a creditor is coming. And Elisha asked her, "How can I help you?" Now, this is interesting. Let's pay attention to this, that second verse. It says, "Tell me, what do you have in your house?" And she says, "Your servant has nothing there at all." And she caught herself. She said, "Except a small jar of olive oil." Except for a small jar of olive oil. And so it's interesting, right, that she at first approaches him with a big problem, a big challenge, a big issue. Then she remembers that she does still have something. Now, isn't that interesting? When we're in the middle of the storm, when we're in the middle of a tragedy or a heartbreak or a challenge, doesn't it feel like sometimes we feel like the widow? It's like, man, I don't have anything. I don't know what to do. I'm just, does that resonate with any of you guys? Or is that just me? Where I feel like all I can see is a problem that is in front of me. And I need to, so what, it's interesting, she even catches herself and she starts to go, "What do you have?" And she says, "I have a little bit of oil." It's interesting, right, what God starts to do and how God uses Elisha to remind her that she still had something. Now for the believer, right, what do we have? We have Jesus Christ, right? And a lot of times we forget because we're all up in our emotions, right? We are so, sometimes we're running, right? We feel like we're running from this, and the trial and the storm is too big and it's going to overcome us. But we have to remember, number one, I like what Sister Dan says, that we are children of God, that we belong to somebody. But oftentimes we can't see past our situation and circumstance. See, the widow had nothing except for a small jar of oil. And she was desperate, right? But here's what you realize. At her area where she was positioned, God was positioning her to do something what? God is ready to move. See, listen, a lot of times, not a lot of times, let me tell you about this, right? We think, I don't know about you guys, how many of you guys have tried to fix the problem on your own? How many have you tried to repair it? And it's like, I can do it. I got this. I don't need any help. And then, and when it comes to, and that's just like practical things, right? And sometimes you're just like, just forget it. Like you get a new one or get some help, right? This is just, I tell my wife, I always see her, we go to Costco a lot or different things. And so how many of you guys like to bring in the groceries in one trip? You got like 10 bags. Your back is hurting. And I was like, really? Like, just put it down. Or like, ask me for help, you know? And I always tell her, I was like, you like to suffer, huh? That's right. I'm right here. Look how strong I am. Come call me. I will help you. But I always tell her, you like to suffer. She knows that. I said, I'm here to help you. Just let me know. And sometimes we're like that, right? We try to do it on our own. We forget that we have a God that is just like, I'm right here. I'm the creator of the universe, right? I have a lot of infinite, I have infinite power and infinite resource. But you have to come. You have to bring it, right? And so God was positioning the widow for a miracle. Right? Now that's us. Oftentimes we forget, right, that we have to bring our needs, our wants to God. And I'd say this, I'm not a health and wealth type of guy. But listen, every one of us in here, we have a desperate need for God. And God is not going, God is, I always say, he's kind and he's patient and he's merciful, but he's not going to force it upon you. I say in that regard, he respects your free will. And so when we have to look at ourselves, right, and where we are in our place, we have to remember that God is waiting, but we have to come to him first, recognize and bring him what we do have. And sometimes what we do have is what? It doesn't look like a lot. It looks like it's empty, right? It looks like it's, like this one is new. But sometimes the container that you're bringing in, like last week, right? We talked about what the container looks like. It has battle wounds and scars and it's all messed up and tore up. God can do something with that, amen? You've heard me say this before. When you get to the end of yourself is where God begins. When you get to the end of yourself is where God begins. So God was positioning her for a miracle. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness, right? And so that's just a reminder. I know sometimes when you're reading the book and you're like, I don't understand that. No, listen, in different times of our life, we're going to have a desperate need of help and we're going to have a desperate need for God. And it doesn't matter, right, what you have. What we're reminded of today in today's passage is that you need to bring it to God anyway. Does that make sense? Even though you think it's flawed. Because the widow didn't think that there was a whole lot that God could do with her oil, but he goes on to do something amazing. Amen? Number two, the second point for today's message is that God is requiring our obedience before the blessings can overflow. God is requiring our obedience before the blessings can overflow. In verse 3, Elisha says, after she recognizes, right, that she says, hey, I do have this small amount of oil in the home. Elisha tells her, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. And don't just ask for a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons, and pour oil into all the jars. And as each is filled, put it aside. Right? Put it aside. Now, it's interesting, right? Because this is where the lady has to take a leap of what? A leap of faith, right? She has to take a leap of faith. And she only has a few jars, so she says, not only just a few, she says, now go and ask your neighbors for them. Imagine having that conversation, knocking on the door. It's like, hey, do you have any extra? Do you have any jars that I could borrow? Now, what are you going to do with it? I don't know. I just need them. I have a need for it. See, God is calling you sometimes to go and knock on somebody's door, and you don't even know it. God is saying, go do this thing. You're like, well, what am I going to do? Just do it. Has God ever put it in your heart to start, to serve, to do something? You're not quite sure what it is, but God is saying, don't worry about the outcome. I want you to be obedient to the ask. Has that ever happened to anybody? Yeah, amen, right? You don't know what's going to happen, right? God is just saying, be obedient to the task that I've given you. Be obedient with what you have, and then let me do the work. And so God is inviting us the same way. And what it does is that he's asking us for a move of faith. Now, I don't know about you guys, right? I don't know. It's tough. That's one thing. It was like, man, it's tough, right? When you can't see. How many of you guys want to see God's plan? Like, you'd like to see the whole, like, I want to see the whole book, right? I want to see the end. I want to see, yeah, right? Tell me what's going to happen. Tell me it, so I can be, you know, you want to ruin the surprise. You ever watch movies with people like that? You're watching a movie and you're like, oh, that guy's going to die right now. Oh, this is going to be good right here. Oh, yeah, can you just be quiet? Like, my father-in-law is notorious for that. I love him, but he's notorious, like, you know, because, you know, I don't know if you guys know that. Sophie and I, we do watch sports, and she's a Niner fan, I'm a Bills fan. And so we'll watch, we and actually purposely, when the season's on, we don't watch anything. We do God's work first, and then we'll watch the game. And Stephanie's dad will be like, are you watching the game? Oh, so he'll tell you, it's like, oh. It always ruins the score, right? So anyway, but listen, listen, God is calling us to be a people of faith, right? And the Bible tells us really clearly, right? Tells us really clearly that without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. See, the Bible is a book of what? It's a book about faith. It's a book about God. It's a book about Jesus. But it takes for you to what? To believe in what God is doing. And then God never, I'm saying, like, listen, I don't know if you trusted in God in something where he's let you down. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. God is always worthy of adoration, and he's always to be ready to be glorified if we're obedient to him. He's moving and he is doing things in our lives. But it means that we have to walk by faith. And not by sight. And some of us, we only want to walk by sight. I'm guilty. Honestly, I'd love to know exactly when things are going to happen. But, isn't it better when you get a nice surprise? Would you like to be part of God's surprise for your life? It's like, I had no idea that God was going to do something, but he just called you to obedience, and then God does this awesome thing. So don't ruin the surprise, right? Don't ruin God's surprise for your life. But sometimes, right, we want to be logical. And God is not asking us to be logical. God is asking us to be people of faith. And here's the thing. He's requiring your obedience. How do you guys, There's a brand that's called Obey. Have you guys seen that? I don't know what it means. But when people tell me something, when people tell you what to do, do you find joy in that? When people say, I need you to do this, this, and that. Part of you, like, instantly, you even make that face. Nobody likes to really be told what to do, right? You'd be like, don't be telling me what to do. You're not my mom, you're not my... And you even start, your head starts wiggling like you're a bobblehead. I don't know what it is about the gene, it's the flesh starts going like... And we don't like to be told what to do, right? And husbands, you don't like to be told what to do by your wife. Even when what she's telling you to do is the right thing. We're putting it in, no, it doesn't go that way. No, it's going to fit. It doesn't go that way. You're going to turn around. No, trust me, it's going to fit. You scratch the furniture. Am I preaching just to some of the men around here? Yeah. I don't need to hear that. It's like, anyway. I don't know where I'm going with this. Bring me back, Jesus. I'm getting myself in trouble. All the men are like, move on, next point, Pastor. We don't like to be told what to do, right? But here's the thing. We're not called. A lot of times people will come to you for advice. People will come to me for advice and say, Pastor, what do you think about this thing? What do you think about this situation? What do you think about that situation? And we will all have what? An opinion. But you heard me say it earlier. Our opinions are what? A dime a dozen. So here's the thing. What we're talking about is to say, let's be obedient to what God's word says. Let's be obedient to what God's word says. How are you going to raise your kids, right? How are you leading your family? What's going on in your marriage? We all have opinions, right? 10 steps to how to have a healthier relationship. 5 steps, 10 steps for more effective communication. New kid by Monday, a new kid by Friday, right? Whatever it is. Listen, do what God's word says. Read it and then obey. Read it and obey. That's where the blessing's at. But sometimes we want to do it our own way, right? Man, if I was to ask you for a ride to Walmart and I jumped in your car, some of you guys have this song on repeat. It's a song by Usher. It's called My Way, right? You like to have it your way all day. Like it's the way, whatever I think, right? It's my way. I have a good opinion about it. I think I'm doing the right thing. Here's the deal. God doesn't care about your way. He's not in the business of making you comfortable or what makes you feel good. It's all about what he says. And you know why? Because if we're honest, a lot of us will say, man, I've made a hot mess of my life trying to do it my way. But if I had just obeyed God, if I had just been in his word, man, it would have saved me a lot of heartache. And so God is calling us to obedience. But sometimes we're asking for the blessing. Say, God, would you, man, I'm praying for my spouse, can you please change them? Okay, how about my kids? I'm praying for my marriage, right? My kids are driving me crazy, God. But when it says, you read the instructions, you're like, well, I don't really want to do it that way. See, we ask God to say, God, bring this, and then God gives you the answer, and you're like, I don't feel comfortable with that. I don't like that answer. But God says, here's where it says, and I'm just going to go there a little bit, right? When it talks about relationships, it says, wives, submit to the husbands. Husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Oh, we like to hear that. But when it says you actually do it, we don't like to hear that, right? We don't like to hear that Christ suffered on the cross and endured shame and pain and humiliation on the cross. And how many husbands will do that for their wives? And on the flip side of that, when he says, wives, submit to your husbands as they are submitting to the Lord, right? Nobody wants to hear that. They're like, Pastor, move on. Next point. You made your point. No, listen, when we're praying for our marriages, this is like you put it out and you leave it out. And whatever God gives you is what he's asking us to do. Because we can't ask and ask and ask. And says, yeah, but that's not convenient. I don't like what you're pouring in here, God. We can't ask for the blessing without the obedience. That's what we're finding. But when we're obedient to it, man, doesn't God start to do some awesome work? doesn't, when we're obedient to God, you start, we start to see like, man, I didn't even know I had that little oil right here, but I see the overflow in my relationship. I see the overflow in what he's doing in my life. I see what he's doing in my kids' life. I see what he's doing in my area of service. If we can just obey and have faith. So God is requiring obedience before the blessing can overflow. And number three, what we read in verses 5-6, let's continue on. And the widow says she left him and shut the door behind her sons. And they brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. And when the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. He replied, there's not a jar left. And then the oil stopped flowing. See, number three, God fills what we surrender to him. God will fill what we surrender to him. Every jar that the sons brought was filled. Only those. And the size of the blessing was determined on what? The size of her faith and her obedience. Did you hear that? If she would have gotten 10 more jars from her neighbors, what would have happened to those 10 jars? They would have been filled, right? And so as we're bringing our jars to God, how many are we bringing to him? Bringing one jar? Number one, let's be clear. None of this will happen without faith in Jesus Christ. You bring your broken jar to Jesus and he will fill it every time. He is merciful. He is kind. He is good, right? We can trust him. So we have to bring that one first. But then what is he calling us? He's calling you to into even more obedience, right? Now I have in front of me four glass jars or cups. Because, you know, like we're on a budget. We're good stewards. We went to Dollar Tree, okay? This is what they had. Amen. I just heard you guys. Now over here, right? Now some of us were asking, we're going around for people. It's like, oh, give me some advice. What do I do about this? You heard me say it, right? 10 steps to a better what? Marriage. 6 steps to better parenting. What's the other one? 10 steps to better finance, right? And all these different areas that we're asking somebody to fill in, but you know what God is saying? Listen, if you just obey me and have faith, right? If you'll bring me all of your jars and you just obey what I tell you in this book, I'll start to fill these jars up for you. Amen? And so what's interesting is that, listen, I don't have, okay, you're going to have to use your imagination. I wish I had a big old vat of oil, but oh, we got this right here, this one from Walmart. But we change the label and it says God, right? Use your imagination. There's no infinite end to what God can pour into your broken vessels, into your broken lives. There's no end to what God can pour in. I'm going to give you honest. You can't outgive God. You cannot. But God is calling you into what? Obedience and intimacy. He's calling you into obedience and intimacy. What? How do you know him? Through Jesus. Right? How do you get even more? You're filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And so what God wants to do is he says, listen, bring your cups. And I would say some of you guys are visual learners, so we have to do what? We have to show you guys what it looks like. So we're going to get this oil right here, and we're going to start to fill some of it up. I was going to put water, but I can't water down the oil. It's going to be... Okay. So she brings what? She has just a jar like this, right? That's all that she brought. And sometimes we say, God, I don't have nothing. He says, you know what? Bring it anyway. Bring it to me. Surrender it to me. I can do something with that. I can do something if you're faithful and obedient to it. So what does God start to do? As soon as she closes the door and she, by faith and obedience, she goes and gets a bunch of jars. It doesn't tell us how many. It tells us that she got a lot. So my question to you is, what is God calling you to bring to him right now? What jars in your life have you been... No, that one's mine. That's the sequence. God is saying, you know what? Bring it to me and I can do something with it. I can bless you with so much floor that it will overflow, right? So I'm about to make my wife real mad. I'm about to overflow this cup right here. All the women in the room started getting nervous. See, God was filling the cup up. Not me. Not your sister, not your neighbor, not your cousin, not what you watch on TV, not the movies you watch, nothing. But God started to fill up and the blessing was starting to overflow, right? And I look at my hand, it's so steady. I didn't even drop one drop. Then God starts to do another thing, right? He says, you know what? Yes, I'm going to fill you up in your own walk with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now you're full. Now what? Bring your family, right? you got a messed up marriage, you're not listening, you guys, you've been disobedient to me. Let's bring that to God, yes? And then he starts to do what he does, right? And God is so good, God is so merciful, God is a God of plenty, right? That he starts to make that whole. And isn't God, I'm just telling you guys, when you submit all these different areas of your life to him, there's nothing that he's not going to leave you empty-handed, right? I'm just, so that these two don't get sad, I'm going to do like this. Okay. But you have to imagine, right? Keep using it. The woman, the widow kept pouring out. He says, bring me that next one, bring me the next one. And then they all were full. Isn't that what we're looking for? We're looking for a full life in who? A full life in the world? No, a full life in Jesus Christ. Amen? He's the one that makes us whole, but he calls us into faith, into obedience. And I keep saying this. I don't know if you're picking up on this. Faith and obedience. A lot of us are asking for the blessing. Where's the blessing? Where's the blessing? And you don't want to obey. You'd rather block with God. No, God. I don't want. Oh, you mean like, no. That's, what are we doing? I mean, God is wanting to move and do an awesome thing in our life if we will just surrender it to him. Because God will fill whatever we surrender to him. So my question to you, what do you need to bring to God? What do you have right now? Because you have something, and God could do something miraculous with your little, right? Let me be honest with you. Some of you guys might be at the point where, like, your relationship is not even like that. Your relationship is on, my God, I don't know what you're talking about, but this is on fumes. This is empty. I'm heartbroken. I'm disappointed. I feel let down. I feel betrayed. And God is saying, you know what? You need to bring that. There's something in here. Right? You can't do anything with it, but I can do something with it. Does that make sense? So we have to stop playing games and just bring to him what we have. Because the real equation of today's message is, I don't know if you realized it, God, she had a little bit. But the God's math, what we're talking about today is, God says, listen, get out of my way is a better thing. It's almost to say, like, listen, let's stop making excuses and getting God's way. Does that make sense? Because God says, you know what? Even better yet, bring me your nothing. Bring me your nothing, your empty. When you get to the end of yourself, you heard me say what? Is where God can begin to do something amazing. And our what? Go to that. There's a little equation that I put up there, brother. It says our nothing plus faith and obedience in God is what? Leads to unlimited provision. And we're not talking about health and wealth and gospel. I'm talking about when you get God and you dive deeper into your relationship with him, you get God. And God is enough. But God is in the business of taking care of our needs too. I don't know if you know that. Here in this room, there's witnesses and there's testimonies about God's faithfulness, about how he's restored lives, health, relationships, broken hearts, all of that. Why? Because God is in the business of providing. But he wants to have our hearts and he wants to have our obedience. And that requires faith. Number four, what God provides is always enough. What God provides is more than enough, sorry. What God provides is always more than enough. When we close that last verse, it says, she went on and she told the man of God, he said, go and sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. See, the oil not only paid the debt, but it sustained her family afterwards, right? And his blessing isn't just enough. Right? God's blessings, you guys know the scriptures, are pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now see, this is a little picture. I don't know if you know this, right? This is a little picture, and it's a foreshadowing of somebody. You had a massive debt that you could not pay in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? Every one of us in here has a sin debt that we could not pay, that we owed to God, because God is holy and perfect and good, and he can have nothing to do with what? With sin. And so I always say this, God came what? God, we deserve his wrath and justice, but he sent his son Jesus to pay a sin debt that we couldn't pay off, right? To pay the debt that we could never pay. And so what we're seeing is that God provides, right? What he provides is more than enough. And what has God provided you? He's provided you with his Son. He's provided you with the Holy Spirit. He's provided you with his Word. He's provided you with the church family. He's provided with brothers and sisters who love you, who care about you. God always provides more than enough. But sometimes we feel like, I don't know, I don't see it. Man, we see it because we're not looking for it. I'm telling you, you're going to, when you seek God with all your heart, you're going to find him. But God provided, and it's more than enough. And so you might be in the struggle right now. You might be in the middle of a storm. You might be in the middle of a heartbreak or heartache or whatever's going on. You might be in dealing with something in your life, an addiction, a hurt, or a pain, whatever it is, financial need, whatever it is. God always provides more than enough. You know why? Because he sent Jesus. Here's the reality of it. Let me just be crystal clear and honest with you, right? This might be the message you want to hear, but this isn't your home. A lot of us, we want to feel like, oh, we're building the mini kingdom here. This is not your home. You are a stranger and alien here. But God has already sent his Son to pay the sin debt so you might know God. And when you get God, you hear me say it again, you get God. And that is enough. That's why what he provides is always more than enough. He sent his Son. And then, right, provides our payment for our sin debt by his death on the cross. And then he meets us, right? The deeper that we grow in knowledge and relationship of Jesus Christ, that you come to find out that, man, isn't Jesus good? More that you know him, right? The more that you trust him, the more that you see what he's working in your life, you'll say, man, Jesus, you're so good. I did deserve the wrath and justice, but man, you give me love instead and mercy and kindness like I've never known. That's our God. And so God isn't just wanting to meet your need, right? But ultimately, he gets us out of the crisis oftentimes. You guys know that? And why does he do that? So that we can get the glory? No. Our story is all about Jesus. He gets the glory, right? And so it's for us just to turn it back. And I always say, listen, we start to give back and serve just out of overwhelming sense of gratitude for what Jesus has done in our life. That's where it's at, honestly. And when you start to walk in the purpose that he made you for, man, but it requires faith and obedience. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it tells us that God is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask for or can even imagine according to the power that is at work within us. Amen? So he's in the business of doing more than we could even ask for or imagine. But what? It's according to the power of the work that is in us, right, through Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. That's where it's at. Dig into the relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants to provide. He wants to give you salvation. He wants to meet all of our needs. But we have to stop with the part where we are just bringing him the parts of our life that we think are convenient. No, he wants all of it. He wants a surrendered life. You know, we always say, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life on Sundays, but not this part. That part is for me. Right? No, no me conviene. That one's kind of harder. That selfish nature that, you know, no. God says, bring it all and see if I can't do something with it. And so I'm going to ask you guys, right? I said, God's math, let me just summarize, is not like our math. In our world, right, a zero plus a zero is still a zero, but in God's kingdom, right, your nothing, your emptiness, your brokenness, your small offering, your hurt, your pain, your emotional traumas, all the childhood traumas, plus him equals life, plus him equals miracles, plus him equals transformation, right, restoration. Outside of that, right, we just keep adding more zeros and more losses. But God came to do something new through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so what you have to ask yourself this morning is, are you holding back any of the empty containers, the empty jars of your life? Are you Which ones are making it difficult for you to put forward and to be obedient to God in that area? And the second question that you ask yourself is, are you limiting him by your lack of faith? Or maybe just your open disobedience to God? Because if God's not going to show up and do a blessing or a miracle, we're being defiant, to be quite honest with you. That's like if you tell your kids to do something and says, if I feel like it, you feel like it. The belt's flying off right there, right? Chanclas, like, immediately in the hand. But some of us, if we're honest, we treat God that way. We wouldn't treat our parents like that, but we treat God that way. And the last question is, are we willing to trust him enough to give him everything? Because guess what? God has already given you everything, if you will accept it. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for your word, Lord God. Thank you for your kindness and your mercifulness, Lord God. Thank you that you are the God that provides, Lord God. You are so good to us. Father God, there's nothing that you can't meet, Lord God. Our greatest need is a need of you, Lord God. Lord, today I just ask, Lord God, and I pray on behalf of our church, Lord, that we could humble ourselves. Humble ourselves in the middle of the storm or the hurt or the pain or the heartache to seek what you have to say. To bring our empty vessels, Lord God, our empty jars to you. And we know, that God, that you can fill them because you're God. There's nothing that you can't do. But our greatest need is our need from you, Lord Jesus. Need to be forgiven, our need to be made whole and redeemed and restored in the right relationship with the Father through our faith in you, Lord Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit. So thank you for today, Lord God. The day that you've given us is a gift for us to reflect whether we're obedient or not. We're holding back. Or we're not taking those steps because we don't quite have the faith. We want to see the end, Lord God. We want to see the end goal, but Lord, you didn't come for that. What good is that, Lord God? Without faith, it says it's impossible to please you, Lord God. So I pray, Lord, that you would draw us to you. I pray that we would reflect. They would take inventory of the things that we've been trying to fill on our own. Only to find out that we've got nothing to give. Was to surrender those things to you, Lord God. God, forgive us in our areas of disobedience. Forgive us, Lord God, for when we think we have a better way. I pray right now, Lord God, for a move of obedience and faith through our church body, Lord. Repentance, Lord God. Help us to bring our brokenness to you, Lord. You're the God that restores. Was there relationships in this room that need to be restored? And it only comes by being obedient, Lord God, taking the crowns off of our head, Lord, and surrendering at your feet, Lord Jesus, and allowing you to be Lord. And Lord, will you come in and mend hearts that are broken, Lord God, hearts that are disappointed, hearts that are hurt, hearts that are bitter and hardened, Lord God? And will you come, Lord God, and just continue to do your work? Meet us at our need. Fill us with you, Lord Jesus. Fill us with you, Heavenly Father and Holy Spirit. All of our emptiness and brokenness, our weaknesses, Lord God, when we surrender to you, Lord, you do amazing things. You even bring the overflow, Lord God. Your word tells us in Psalm 23:5, it says that you prepare a table before the presence of our enemies. You anoint our heads with oil. Our cup overflows. And your word is true. So thank you again, Lord, for just the gift that we have in you. Help us to obey, Lord God. Help us to bring these things to you forward, Lord. And know that when we come to the end of ourselves is where you actually begin and you can do some work, Lord. Pray that you continue to move through the body of the church, Lord God, to reach more people who don't know who you are, to reach the lost and the hurting. Lord, help us to glorify you, because at the end of the day, if when these jars are full, Lord God, and overflowing, Lord God, it's not because of us, it's because of you. So will you do a move, Lord God, in this church, in the body, that we can know you and make you known, and that you would be glorified in heaven. Thank you for your goodness, your kindness, and all of your mercy, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.